So we have three assignments to look at.
Yeah.
And here's the first one. From Friday, the epitome of the human realm is to be stuck in a huge traffic jam of discursive thought. Do you find yourself in a familiar mental traffic jams regularly? Would you say a lot of the time? Today, RL, whenever you notice you're in a jam, take a breath, walk outside, gaze at the sky, a tree, a blossom, or some green grass for a few breaths. Consciously focus on the breaks in the mental traffic. RL, your experience of being present to the flow of the breath and a spacious mind. The next one is my favorite. So on Saturday, Zen does not confuse spirituality with thinking about God while one is peeling potatoes. Zen spirituality is just to peel the potatoes. Thinking about spiritual practice is not the same as practicing. Conditioned mind is happy noodling along through the day, avoiding the present moment by moment. How to get out of the noodle factory? Practice just peeling the potatoes in whatever you're doing. Awareness does not need us to think about it.
There's a good line. Awareness does not need us to think about it. We are not more aware when we're thinking about whatever we could be aware of but aren't aware of because we're busy thinking. And then we had Sunday,
which was everyone is in the best seat. Today, remember that now is the best time and here is the best place to wake up and end suffering. Start the day by recording your appreciation of the perfection of where you are in your life and your practice. Recall some of the most powerful workshops that have brought you to your current level of conscious awareness. Consider what your life might be like had you not had those happy, blessed opportunities. Realizing every moment reveals to us what we need to encounter and transcend now. Spend the day noticing the perfect unfolding of the path you are walking.
You know, as you know, because you were there, over the weekend at the retreat, we did one of those little stepping stone exercises with Joy. And this is that same kind of experience, right, to do those, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. All of those things that conditioned mind wants us to remember as bad times. And then to look at them from the perspective of, and this is how it changed me. And this is what I learned. Such a powerful exercise.
Yeah. And that there are no mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. So we have a huge queue of callers. So here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Todd. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini.
Hello,
hey, Todd.
What have you been seeing?
Happy to be here. Grateful to be alive. And that's enough. Thank you for that on Friday. I recorded that. It really made me chuckle because it's so perfect.
Kind of says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah. Kind of says it all. Just echoing all the gratitude for this Project Joy and the daily assignments. And I was looking at the Sunday assignment about all the blessed opportunities, and I made this recording about what life might be like if I had not encountered all those blessed, happy opportunities, and that was very insightful and revealing.
It's the supposedly old Chinese curse, which is probably just a rumor, may you be born in a happy time. the fastest way not to have the life that's possible for us is for everything always to go well, which is going well being ego's definition of what I want.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was fun, the final line on that was something like, record and listen and spend the day I think it was something like observing or noticing the perfect unfolding of the path that you're walking on.
Mm.
And it reminded me of that stepping stone exercise you're talking about at the retreat, because I've done that exercise a couple times, and it was very similar to that. I did a recording of just sort of reflecting on all the practice opportunities and quotations, challenges that came up, and ups and downs, and just was, after about a 30-minute recording, half an hour recording, I was amazed at all the things that this path has brought me, that I've done walking on this path and that I've encountered. And it was very, very inspiring and encouraging and supportive. Yeah.
Yeah, so when we use the word hero or somebody, ego wants to say, yeah, but not you.
Right.
Yeah. Not like not being heroic. And then you do an exercise like that and go, well, actually, that was pretty heroic. That was a lot.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. I was reflecting on all the ups and downs of practicing, being really connected and participating and really involved in practice, and then kind of falling out of practice for a while and being disconnected and isolated and conditioning telling me I quit practice and then coming back to the path or maybe just recognizing I'm on the path again. That was very illuminating.
Mm-hmm. There are so many ways that we can address that if we choose to.
Uh-huh.
And one simple one is to get a calendar. And I still, maybe it's because I'm kind of old school, but I recommend one that is actually physical, that you put somewhere and you look at, not just when the notification comes, there's the little ding and you may or may not choose to look at what it's notifying you about. But there it is.
Uh-huh.
You go through that calendar and you write in on that calendar in big letters whatever it is. So it could be, are you practicing? And you put that once a week. Get different colors, okay?
Oh,
are you
fun.
Practicing? And you use that calendar and you keep encountering that, and your commitment is to be able to say yes every time you encounter it. And it gets much harder to forget.
Exactly, yes. Yes, it's funny you said that, because I've got a physical calendar up on my wall, and I'm using markers to write in the practice commitments and assignments and things, and it's really unfolding like that. I've just been doing it for a couple months, exactly as you laid out, and it's a physical
Take it down. And fill in the reminders through the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't
that.
Have to remember
nice.
To do that. When you turn to a new page, it's there.
Yes. Like next quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies example.
Yes. And just in a specific, are you practicing?
Oh, I see. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Because otherwise, you can write next quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies and go right over it. But whatever the question is, and you're recording and listening about this, right?
Yeah.
So that your commitment is not to fall off practice.
Right.
And so that's your morning recording. That's on your calendar. And it'll be much trickier to get talked into that isolation. Because the thing, you know, at the risk of being who I am, you don't want to die in those periods, Todd. You know, there's an assumption that I can fall off of practice, and then at some point I'll get back on and everything will be fine. But it won't be if you happen to die in one of the falls.
That's such a great
Yeah.
I love that. That's such a great point.
That we're here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to be here for all of it.
Yes.
And just another imagery that came up over the weekend a couple times was a discussion on Friday Thursday about small children in the puppet show.
Mm-hmm.
That was a regular occurrence in my grade school. We'd have puppet shows every Friday afternoon. I don't know why, but we had them. And that's just such a beautiful imagery of life. What is happening next? the puppet show. Yes. And that's sort of what you're looking at, is that I remind myself on the calendar, I am practicing and I want to be here. I don't want to fall off into those periods of isolation or falling off of practice, just in case. We don't know what's happening next.
And so for you, Todd, are you at the puppet show?
Right.
Right? That might be a better reminder than are you practicing.
Yeah, are you at the puppet show?
Delighted? Are you delighted with the puppet show? If you're not, you know what happened.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. When I'm practicing and I'm, you know, doing that thing, I'm at the puppet show and I'm delighted and intrigued and curious about the next thing that's going to happen.
Yes. Yes. That's Otherwise, you're often isolated and you're not having a good time. That's not when we want to cash in our chips.
No, exactly. Well, great. Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you,
Ashwini. Thank you, Todd.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Todd. Are you in the puppet show? What a lovely reminder. It's on so many levels, right? Because otherwise we take it seriously that this is our life, not that we have a part to play in the theater of existence, and it's all supposed to be in fun.
Yes. Delight. We can live in delight rather than isolation and negativity.
Yeah. Well, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Emily from Seattle.
Hello, Emily.
Hi.
What do you think?
Well, I thought it was really helpful to work with the mental traffic jams.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good exercise for me. It was sort of the first time I did it kind of throughout the day, even when I didn't have like alone and private time. And I noticed how I tend to sort of save my practice for when I'm alone and when I have it, you know, scheduled to do it.
Wow. And, now that's a big one to catch on to, isn't it? Because I bet you didn't actually get that's how you were being set up.
Well, I always scheduled plenty of time, there were these stretches where I found myself, I was just kind of trying to survive it and get through it until I had my time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically what you've realized, and I can't tell yet whether you actually have gotten it, grokked it, you know, that old expression of really, whoa, because what happens to us is we're being scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
And life is not doing the scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So right. That system, that ego system that controls us says, okay, yeah, so you can practice at this time and this time and this time. But during these times, you can't really practice, so those are my times to torture you. And what you need to do is just grit your teeth and tense up and survive all of these times. Mm-hmm. And we get to that place and say, wait a minute, why would I want to do that? I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I want life to be there carrying me through the good times and the hard times.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So I would make myself do it and noticed just all the resistance that would come up to doing that. But it made me, you know, this physical movement of going outside the front door and doing a recording and just as a practice. It really got me to see, to recognize, oh, I'm in that survival space. I'm going to go outside and stand for a minute and record about it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the trees.
It's so cool.
And and it got me kind of going back and forth a little bit and seeing, and just also being able to see what the terrible things were going on inside my mind, and what you know, when I could, when there wasn't anything that terrible going on inside the house, I could come out and see that most of it was going on in my head.
Yeah.
So that was really good.
And to see what to me the huge thing that you're seeing is the resistance to you getting that, because that survival system depends on you believing what it tells you. And as you start encroaching on its time, right, when it has control of you, and you start seeing, wait a minute, that's just a conversation, a negative conversation in my head. That's not true. There's nothing wrong. Ooh, the influence that it loses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Emily, if you want a kind of a thing to play with about that.
Sure.
When there is that level of resistance, just add to that recording, oh, and the level of resistance tells me I'm doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time we hit that level of resistance, what we're doing is taking power and control away from ego. So instead of it being a negative thing that we try to avoid, it's something that we go right after.
Yeah, you should have heard it this morning, right before I called in.
Really unhappy.
I mean, I wouldn't have known that I could do this if I mean, the things it was saying, if I hadn't had this experience in this practice, I would have gone the other way.
we all would, right? Because it sounds so much the authority. It sounds so right and true, and it sounds so powerful. And when we get it, that all I have to do to vanquish that is walk outside and look at the sky.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I can either live a life in torture, or I can put it all behind me just by looking up at the sky.
Yeah.
Woo!
That was good.
Good, huh?
So,
thank you. Thank you, Emily. Do a recording on how gutsy she is, okay?
Yeah, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Emily. I'm going to try to bring a couple more.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to say one thing. Somebody sent me a little video of, I don't know who did it, but the statue of the little girl that is now standing, staring down the giant bull on Wall Street.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw a picture of it, but, you know, she's like 4 feet tall, and she's got her hands on her hips, and she's just looking at that bull, right? And that reminded me of Emily, that kind of, okay. All right. So, yeah, I see. You're big and scary, and you're going to do your darndest, and I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah. And I can face up to the bully, right?
I can. The bully, yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Okay. I think we have time for one more caller. So, next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Ramita.
Hi, Ramita.
Hello.
What are you seeing?
Oh, lots. really liked the practice on Sunday. Everyone's in the best seat.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it cleared out a ton of regret and feeling bad and things that had sort of piled up and I'd not really been aware of before.
Uh-huh. Gosh, that is so important for us to see as a principle, isn't it? that we see what we see, and we assume, oh my goodness gracious, I don't know if you people can hear that, but I seem to be under attack. We see what we see, and we assume that we're seeing all there is to see.
Yes.
And then we begin to get an idea that there may be more.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like another layer. You know, I've been practicing with not feeling bad for, you know, right along with everybody, and had sort of, it seems like conditioning had sort of talked me into agreeing that things were okay, but it was really regretful. And then to be able to see it in the context that the exercise pointed out, that I wouldn't be this degree of awake if it hadn't been for those things. And it shifted, it really shifted everything so that I could feel that sense of gratitude and almost anticipation, you know, like what's the next lesson life's going to bring me? I may not be quite so clear when it comes, but right now I feel like I'm right there, and I'm open and willing to understand it as a process of me waking up.
Yes. Yes. That is so big, isn't it? And that it's that everything about how you do that, how you approach that, how you go through that is part of the lesson. It's part of what you get to see. So it's not like, all right, I'm going to grit my teeth and just, like we talked about with Emily, you know, I'm going to tense up, grit my teeth, and survive this. No, I'm going to watch what's happening in the body. What's happening emotionally? What are the images that drop in that are connected with this? What are the conclusions that are being made? What am I thinking about? Right? All of those are clues. You know, the Sherlock Holmes, right? He was famous for, I guess he still is, huh? Famous for seeing things that nobody else saw, recognizing as clues things that nobody realized were clues. And that's a perfect image of awareness practice, that we're looking for those seemingly unrelated, innocuous, whatever, you know, other words go with, doesn't mean squat. All those little pieces are part of the puzzle. And when we are paying attention like that and looking for them, the puzzle comes together a lot quicker.
Absolutely. And it opens the avenues to seeing more, just like you're saying, seeing those clues, which are just not available when I'm gritting my teeth and, you know, like in the survival mode. It's just, there's that narrow vision versus this expansive, you know, okay, bring it on. Show me what I'm ready to learn.
Yes. Yes. And the beauty in that, I mean, I hope everybody could hear the support in that. Okay, come on. Give it to me. I'm ready for this lesson. You know, are you sitting in the front of the classroom with your hand raised when the teacher says, who wants to take on the next problem? Or are you, you know, kind of skulking around in the back, hoping nobody notices you, and you can just survive the class and get a passing grade without ever actually learning anything.
Yeah. Go ahead, please.
Well, just very quickly to tie that together, that when you raise your hand that way, you've got the support of everything that wants you to have an education. When you're skulking in the back, you got nothing.
Yeah. And, Sherry, it feels like you're reading, you're describing my life and the karmic, well, I know I'm not alone with this, but the karmic tendency to be small and hidden. And, wow. I mean, you know, the one graphic example of the best seat, you know, something really difficult was happening in a relationship a few years ago. And put me in that place of, you know, I don't know what to do. What do I do? And it led me to realizing there was a lot of practice opportunities that I had not been taking advantage of. They were all sitting there, all these little pearls of opportunity to participate, and I had been looking elsewhere. And it was
all waiting to support you, all waiting to support you through this difficult place that you found yourself in your life.
Yeah. And so now I'm still dealing that exact same process on other levels, on subtler levels. And
yes. Because what you're describing, Ramita, is karma. And that's, you know, it's an excavation process, right? And that's how we get to the bottom of something. You know, if we're back to Sherlock Holmes and Sherlock walks in and there's a body and the conclusion is, I think it's murder. And Sherlock walks out. You know, yes, on that level, that is true. But it's just not helpful, right? Mm-hmm. And there are so many pieces to that before it's solved. And that's what we're doing with karma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Sherry, for hanging in there with all of us. And
what a pleasure it is.
This is fabulous. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Ramita.
Bye-bye.
Well, bye-bye. Thank you. There's just so much in that to explore, but it's like, unfortunately, we're at the end of our time. So
darn.
I think our assignment for today really speaks to the conversation. It says, you yourself must make the exertion. The Buddhas are only teachers. Spot on, right? That we're supported by everything that wants us to learn, but we've got to take the steps. And wherever we are, that's the step we take.
Yes. And, you know, Ashwini, what I'm reminded of when you say that is what we have with, especially with recording and listening. Sangha, yes. And recording and listening, you know, for those middle of the nights when the anxiety wants to hit. With recording and listening, we have a constant opportunity to be reminded that, yes, we can. We can do this. Yes, we wouldn't be here if we weren't equal to this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And the one other thing that dropped in about the conversation before I read the rest of the assignment is something that dropped in for me yesterday. You can't be a part of something if you don't participate. I mean, participate is taking part.
Yes. Yes,
that sense of not belonging. Yeah, not belonging implies, I mean, that we don't have the best seat or we're uninvited or whatever it is that goes on for us about that. It's conditioning is always pointing to you don't belong in some way, right? You're not the right person, you're not at the right place in your practice or any of those things. But wherever we are, if we participate, then we include ourselves. And that is the exertion, I think, that the Buddha's pointing at. Practice.
Yeah, claim our seat, right?
Claim our
seat. Claim that best seat, yeah.
As a receiving of our belonging.
Yeah.
So, today, remind yourself that no matter how many people have made the journey before you, no matter how many maps have been drawn by others, only you can walk the path to your liberation. As you make the journey today, notice the many ways in which life is guiding and teaching you. You just said that, right, Sherry? That life is so supportive of our ability to learn. Pay attention to what the teachings are asking of you. Recognize that you're equal to each challenge you are offered. Record and listen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Do that. How about you?
Me too. I can't wait.
I know. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. And apologies, everyone, for the mix-up this morning. And one other thing, Sherry, that we've been struggling with that I want to make sure everybody understands. We have no way to, it seems, to mute the show until I start the recording. Even though some applications and some of the internet in those people connecting in some ways get muted, But just to be aware that if you call into the show to mute yourself because your conversation is broadcast to everyone else, there are a few ways of connection that don't get muted by our settings. And so we've had a couple of texts over the last week saying that we can hear someone getting ready for school, someone else having a conversation. And so just to put your phone on mute till the recording gets started.
Great tip. Save us from those embarrassing moments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
again,
you so
Esmeralda.
Much.
Thanks,
Take
everybody.
Care. Bye-bye.
Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.